الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class, we continue discussing the issue of الفقه في الدين, having a sound and proper understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this is the true sign that Allah, He wants good for a person, that He will grant them understanding in their religion, that He will guide them to seek knowledge and to have concern with this affair. He will guide them to seek knowledge and to be concerned with the affair of understanding the religion properly and correctly, beginning with that which takes precedence and that which is most important, the affairs of creed, the affairs of a tawheed, and that which is related to the beautiful names and the lofty attributes of perfection of the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise His rights, tabaraka wa ta'ala, from performing the obligations of the daily actions of worship in the manner that's prescribed, in the manner that is legislated, in the manner that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, and not according to desires and whims and customs and cultures as one likes, rather according to the command of Allah and the deen of Allah, and likewise the issue of earning a living in order to know that which is permissible and lawful, and to partake in that upon knowledge and light, and likewise to know that which is forbidden and not allowed in order to avoid it upon insight and light. And we have seen as well the issues related to spending. From that, there is that which is obligatory on a person, from his zakat, and also from spending on his family and others under his care. And also the spending that is not obligatory, but rather it is recommended and a great means to earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. We have discussed a number of these affairs, and likewise the issue of bir al-walidain. Bir al-walidain, being kind and respectful and obedient and courteous to the parents. We had mentioned in our previous class that we would discuss this issue in a bit of brief detail, because this is from the signs, from the great signs that Allah, He wants good for someone, is that He would seek knowledge of these issues, specifically here, that which the author here mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and likewise the issue of the parents and the great rights of the parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And your Lord has decreed and legislated that you should not worship anyone except for Him, and that you must be kind and courteous and obedient to the parents, and that you must be kind and courteous and obedient to the parents. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentions, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He mentioned that if one of your parents or both of them, they reach old age, that if one of your parents or both of them, they reach old age, meaning in your lifetime, and you're with them, do not even say to them, "Uff," like a sign of disgust or despair. Whenever they request or ask something from you, if they ask you to do something, don't say, "Oh, oof, I don't want to do that. I don't need," even if you don't say, "I don't want to do that," just that's the meaning. That's the meaning. So one is not allowed to say this. This is from the smallest words and a sign of disobedience and a sign of disrespect and not seeking the pleasure of the parent, and not seeking the pleasure of the parent. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا, and do not be harsh or rude to them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, but rather say a nice and kind and courteous word to them. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا, but rather lower the wing of humbleness and mercy for them, and He show mercy and kindness to them. Be humble to them. Do not be in opposition to them or harsh or rude against them. And say, "Oh my Lord," and He supplicate for them. "Oh my Lord, have mercy on my parents just as they had raised me when I was a child. Just as they had raised me and cultivated me and took care of me while I was a child." So these are from those beautiful verses clarifying this right. Clarifying this right. Here Allah Azza wa Jal began mentioning His right to be worshipped alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and immediately after that mentioning the right of the parents. The people of knowledge, they have clarified that this is an indication of the great right of the parents that is coupled with a mention of the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that your Lord, He has decreed, He has legislated and ordered that you should not worship anyone except for Him. He has ordered for the tawheed to be khalis and sincerity for the sake of Allah. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and also He has ordered that you be kind and nice and obedient to the parents, So coupling the mention of the parents with the mention of the obligation of a tawheed in this manner, the people of knowledge, they have mentioned this is clarification of the great rights of the parents. A clarification of the great rights of the parents, because Allah has decreed in His universal decree that there will be a means for the life of the human being, the means for the existence. Allah has decreed that the child will be conceived from the mother and the father and will be born in the manner that is well known. This is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore the parents are from the means that Allah has decreed for the existence of the child, for the existence of the child. And for this reason likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَحْنًا عَلَى وَحْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned as well, and we have ordered and commanded that you be good to the parents. The mother has carried him. The mother has carried him weakness upon weakness, and his weaning is in 2 years. أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. And that you must show thanks to me and to your parents. Again, the mention of this affair, the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that when he shows gratitude and thanks and appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings and the favors that He has bestowed upon a person, and likewise the parents, وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ, and also for your parents, إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ, and to me is the return. Meaning to me is the return. That person is going to return back to Allah and be held accountable with regards to this light, with regards to these rights, with regards to this shukr. Did a person show the proper gratitude and thanks for the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the right of Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to His favors and blessings and bounties, with regards to His rights, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and likewise, did he show thanks? Did he show thanks to his parents and fulfill their rights properly? Because one will return to Allah and he will be taken to account with regards to these rights. With regards to these rights and these beautiful verses here in Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies great benefit on how to deal with the parents and how to work with them and how one, he must be kind to them regardless of their situation. After this, Allah, He says, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And if they strive against you, if the parents, the mother and the father, if they strive against you to coerce you to commit shirk and worship others along with Allah, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. In this case, do not obey them. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But you must accompany them in this life in a good and noble manner. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And follow the path of those who turn in repentance and sincere devotion to me, and to me is the return, and I would inform you of everything that you used to do. Again, a reminder of the hereafter, and this is a reminder of the recompense, and that Allah is well aware of all things. That Allah is well aware of a person's statements and deeds and his manners and conduct whenever he's dealing with the people and the rights, they will be served on the day of resurrection. لَتُعَدَّنَّ الْحُقُوقُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. The rights, they will be served. وَالظُّلْمُ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And oppression, injustice is darkness. Is darkness on the day of resurrection. This verse here is amazing in this issue here with regards to the high and lofty rights and status of the parents. وَإِن جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. And if they strive against you, trying to cause you to associate partners with me in worship, which is the most severe and the worst of all crimes, and the most disgusting and lowly of all sins, the greatest right of Allah Azza wa Jal and the greatest thanks and gratitude is to single him out for all actions of worship. But if the parents, if they even call the child to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah, He says, of course, now, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. You do not obey them. You cannot obey them in that. If they call to shirk, you cannot obey them in that. But at the same time, وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But you must accompany them in this life and with honor and nobility. So even if they call a person to commit shirk, even if they call a person to disbelieve, it's not allowed. It's not allowed to raise the voice. It's not allowed to belittle them. It's not allowed to talk back. It's not allowed to be sharp. It's not allowed to belittle them. And this is something that we had referred to previously, and it's very important and related to this issue, because we have discussed the issue of returning to the deen, and we have discussed the issue likewise that many people, alhamdulillah, they are interested and they're striving to return to the deen, and that from the aspects of returning to the deen, how that occurs is by seeking knowledge. And many times we find in these days the youth and others likewise, they're beginning to seek knowledge, and they're learning their religion, and they're learning about the sunnah, and they're learning about the narrations, they're learning about the aqidah, they're learning about the manhaj, they're learning about the salafiyah. But in the beginning, a person, he does not have the detailed knowledge. He will have misunderstandings many times with regards to these affairs. And sometimes we have found, and it's well known, that many people, whenever they begin to seek knowledge and to learn and to strive to hold fast to the religion, sometimes they begin to be harsh and they begin to be rude and they begin to fall into extremism from different aspects, and many times with their parents and many times with their families. And it's known that many times there will be a person that before he had been guided to the sunnah and to learn this knowledge and be interested in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and striving to be upright, that he had a good relationship with his parents, with his mother and his father, or with his siblings, the brothers and the sisters, or with the family in general. And then after he is guided to the straight path and the general guidance, now he starts to see that his parents are misguided themselves, or they're involved in innovation, or they're involved in great deviation, or they are engulfed in sins and the likes like this. And so this person, if he's not careful, he will start to belittle them or start to be harsh to them or start to be rude to them. And this is not allowed and not correct. For example, the person, he will start seeking knowledge and he'll find the obligation for the man to grow a beard. He'll find the obligation for the man to raise his pants above his ankles. He'll find the prohibition of interest in these transactions that are forbidden and from the great and major sins. And maybe he'll find that his father is involved in these affairs. Maybe he'll find that his father is involved in these affairs, or the obligation of the proper hijab and the correct manner to cover oneself, the woman, whenever she leaves her house, that their mother is deficient in these affairs or negligent in these affairs and the likes like this. And then they will start to belittle them or to mock them or to talk bad to them or talk back to them or to be harsh with them or rude to them. Some of them, they'll even make tabdi' of their father or their mother, saying, oh, he's an innovator. He's an innovator, or they'll make tafsiq, calling him a fasiq, and the likes like this, and they'll refuse to take his wealth because he has loans of interest, and so on and so forth. All of this, and no doubt, these are great sins and great problems, but this is not the way to deal with them, and not the way to correct them, not the way to rectify them, especially not from the child. Allah, He says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. If they strive against you, to coerce you, to force you to make shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal, which you have no knowledge of. No doubt, this is not allowed and this is not permissible. So therefore, do not obey them. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, and accompany them in this life with goodness and nobility. So if a person, his parents called him to make shirk, then Allah has ordered to not obey them in that, yet to at the same time accompany them in nobility and honor and with respect and dignity in a good way. And a good way. So anything lesser than that, no doubt, is included. Regardless of whether it's an innovation, or whether if it's sins, or whether if it's involved in interest, or whatever the case may be. Anything lesser than shirk. All of the sins, they're lesser than shirk. So if they're ordering to commit shirk, we are ordered to not obey them, yet we're also ordered to still live with them in goodness, then how about anything lesser than that? Then how about anything lesser than that? So therefore, it's not only فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Regardless of their situation. Regardless of their situation. Especially whenever they're Muslims. Especially whenever they pray. Especially whenever they establish the deen outwardly in general. They establish the rights of al-Islam outwardly in general. Even if they're non-Muslims. Likewise, they have rights. They have rights. They're parents. They must be respected. They must be honored. So the point from this mention here and why we discuss this issue specifically in detail is because of the dangers of this affair and the problems that we face with regards to this from those who are striving to come to the straight path. We should never make our istiqamah and our love for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and our ghairah for the religion and the likes like this cause a problem with our parents until our parents or our family members think that our istiqamah or what we are claiming is istiqamah is not good. Giving them a bad picture, meaning that the relationship before striving to follow the deen was better than after. Rather, true istiqamah will rectify the manners and the conduct. He will be granted knowledge and insight on how to deal with these affairs. And from that, this issue here. So therefore, anytime the parents, they order something or they want something from the child that is forbidden and not allowed, it's not allowed for the child to obey them. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا So do not obey them. If the parents, they order to go to church, for example, they're non-Muslims, or they order to go purchase alcohol, or they order to not wear the proper hijab, or they order to shave the beard, or they order to drag the pants, or they order for anything that is forbidden or prohibited, or they try to prohibit anything that is an obligation, they will not be obeyed in this. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا But at the same time, وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا But you must accompany them in this life with honor and nobility. You must respect them. So therefore, that means that whenever they order something that is not allowed, whether to fall short or leave the commandments or to perpetrate and commit the prohibitions, it's not allowed to obey them. But here is the point, the mihak and the benefit of knowledge and the light of knowledge. At this time, it's an obligation to disobey them. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا يعني اِعْسِهِمَا You must disobey them. You must disobey them. If they command you to make shirk, you must disobey them. If they command you to shave your beard, you must disobey them. If they command you to not wear the proper hijab, you must disobey them. If they command you to purchase alcohol, you must disobey them. If they command you to take them to the church, you must disobey them. If they command you to order them pork and swine and the likes like this, you must disobey them. Whatever the issue is, they tell you not to pray, they tell you, whatever the violation is, you must disobey them. But here the issue is, how will they be disobeyed? Here the issue is how they would be disobeyed. They will be disobeyed with nobility and honor. They will be disobeyed in respect. They will not be disobeyed harshly. One will not say, oh, you're a mushrik. Allah, you're calling me to shirk, you're a mushrik. What's wrong with you? From the people of the hellfire. This is not in accordance to the text and to the revelation, to the wisdom that was revealed. In the Quran, to the wisdom that was revealed in the Quran, rather, وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا Rather, you should accompany them in this life in goodness. So therefore, a person, he will tell them, for example, بَرَكَ فِيكَ I love you, my mother and my mother and father, but it's not allowed for me to do that. This is forbidden in Al-Islam. This is something displeasing to Allah. I cannot violate these rights. Or this is an obligation upon me. I must establish it. May Allah bless you. May Allah guide you. May like this. And he will say it in a kind manner, in a kind voice, in a humble manner. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ And then you make dua for them likewise. You make dua for them likewise, but one, he will never disrespect them. He will never disrespect them. Even if they tell him, for example, go get me a pork chop. Would the other be like, or go to the store and buy me some liquor. And the likes like this, or order me some alcohol from this place, or lesser or greater than that. He will disobey them. He will disobey them, but he will disobey them with honor and in a good manner, and with a good speech. And he will excuse himself with dignity and with respect and courtesy. Afwan, this is not allowed for me. Even if they're non-Muslim, for example, they want to take pictures for you. These things that we have to go through. You explain to them, in my religion, it's not allowed for us. My religion is not allowed for us. So I hope that you respect my wishes. In my religion, it's not allowed for us. I hope that you respect my wishes. You know, I love you very much, and you're dear in my heart, and I'll do whatever I can to please you. But these are things that violate the rights of my religion, and I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to do that. They invite you to Christmas. They invite you to Thanksgiving. They invite you to any of these other celebrations, birthday parties. You just excuse yourself with nobility, with courtesy, not in a rude manner. Even if they tell you over and over and over, time after time, every single year for 20 years, they invite you to Christmas. Every single year for 20 years, they call and say, happy birthday. Never once is it allowed to be harsh or rude to them. Rather, a person, he has to use wisdom and gentle speech and courtesy in order to maneuver through this affair. And that's only done by way of knowledge. That can only be done by way of knowledge and the aid and assistance of Allah. So this is from the clarification of that. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ Whomsoever Allah wants good for, He'll grant him understanding in the religion. He'll have understanding of how to deal with his parents. If the parents, they order for something that's permissible and allowed, it's not an obligation, it's permissible and allowed. Take out the trash, for example. Or pick up this room, or do this, or do that, or get up at this time, or come help me with this affair. If it's permissible and allowed, it's an obligation to obey them. It's an obligation to obey them. If they tell you to not do something, that's allowed for them to say, not to do not stay up at late at night. Do not get on the device. Do not go onto YouTube without anybody observing you, without anyone overseeing you. Do not make an account in social media like this. If the parent says this to the child, which they should, no doubt which they should, that it's an obligation in deen for the sake of Allah that the child will obey, that the child will obey, regardless of what they want. Regardless of what they want, if they have sincere faith and they seek the pleasure of Allah, they will obey. They will obey. It has been reported authentically from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, "Ridha al-Rabbi fi ridha al-Walid." Ridha al-Rabb fi ridha al-Walid. That the pleasure of the Lord is in the pleasure of the father, or could be translated in the pleasure of the parent. The pleasure of the Lord is in the pleasure of the parent. So a believer, he will obey his parents. Diyanatan. Diyanatan, even if he doesn't want, he wants to open an account. He wants to stay up late. He wants to do this. He doesn't want to come and help around the house. He wants to go play. All of these affairs, one's faith will check them and check their desires and carry them to perform that because they remember Allah. And they remember the meaning of Allah and they hope for the reward from Allah. In this manner, it will become easy. The one who has sincerity in his deeds and his actions, he remembers Allah and the deen of Allah, and he remembers the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the accountability and the promise of Allah and the threat of Allah. All of these issues here, they will become easy for him in this manner and no other way. To obey the parents and things that a person he does not want to do, this is difficult except for those who are sincere. Except for those who are sincere. Sincerely looking for the pleasure of Allah. Sincerely looking for the pleasure of Allah. This goes likewise with the rights of the rest of the people, the spouses, the husband and the wife. Many times they want things that the other doesn't want. But if it's a right for them, the other one who his soul is not inclined to that, they will surrender. They will submit, not to that person, but to the command of Allah, hoping for the reward for Allah. So by being sincere and having ikhlas, these rights, they become easy to perform. And without having sincerity and ikhlas, they become very difficult and heavy. They become very difficult. And heavy, very difficult and heavy. And the right of the mother is greater than the right of the father, but the right of the father is not light. But the right of the father is not light. It's not light. So this is something that is of utmost importance, to learn this knowledge and to implement it properly. And to implement it properly, details of the religion. This is the sign that Allah, He wants good for someone. Because the one who does not have fiqh, for example, with regards, the one who does not have fiqh in the deen, we see in what is meant by fiqh in the deen, right? What is meant by fiqh in the deen? A whole bunch of memorization only. Huh? Fiqh in the deen. Huh? Understanding the religion, just like memorizing a lot of hadith. That's what it means. Huh? Al-amal, al-ilm wal-maqroonu bil-amal. Al-ilm al-adhi yashabuhu al-amal. Al-ilm al-mashhubu bil-amal. Al-ilm, al-ilm al-muthmir lil-amal. The knowledge that produces the fruit of action. The knowledge that is accompanied with action, application. This is the fiqh that we're talking about. This is the fiqh that we're talking about. This has proceeded. Every class, barakallahu fikum, is like a brick. It's like a brick. One after the other. One after the other. Brick after brick after brick. Pretty soon you have a strong foundation. And you'll be standing on something in your religion. If you pay attention. Every class like this, any that we study, even the books, how we studied them, we come to this book here, yani in a line of books. Didn't come straight to this book or straight to that book, rather it's a line of books. The knowledge is taught like this, intentionally, to build foundations. So if we pay attention in the previous classes, they will be the keys for us to understand the classes to come. So al-fiqh fi al-deen, al-ilmu al-ladhi yashhabuhu al-amal. Remember this now. When we say fiqh fi al-deen, understanding in the religion, that is the knowledge that is accompanied by? Action. Ahsanta, barakallahu fiqh. Ahsanta, barakallahu fiqh. So the one who has fiqh in the deen with regards to this affair, he will be able to perform these rites. But the one who does not have fiqh in the deen, he will not be able to perform these rites, whether he will cause much problems. His parents, maybe they will order him to do something that's not allowed, and he will burst out. He will lash out, and he will be rude, and he will be harsh. This is a means to sever ties, and the parents, they become angry with him. And then on top of that, they will also have a bad idea about al-Islam, or about the Sunnah, or about Salafiyah, because he was not like that before, for example. And then he starts ascribing to the deen, ascribing to the Sunnah, trying to follow the narrations, and now he's rude. Now he's harsh. Some of them, they've complained to the people of knowledge. that one of their sons never in his life raised his voice to his father. He mentioned that his father is making dua, oh Allah, guide my son, oh Allah, guide my son. And then he's guided to sit in the gatherings of knowledge and he starts to learn. And now all of a sudden he becomes rude and harsh, raising his voice to his father until one of the fathers is complaining to one of the mashaykh that I wish I never made dua for him because now he's worse. He never raised his voice. He never raised his voice to me before. So this is, is the clarification of the importance of this detailed knowledge, because al-istiqamah is not just an outward appearance and it's not like a rigid path. Rather, it's a clear path and there is light that one is in need of in order to traverse it properly, because if not, he will violate these great rights. He will violate these great rights. Not fulfilling the rights of the parents is from the major sins. Violating the rights of the parents is from the major sins. Some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned the example of the one who disobeys his parents. Uquq al-walidain. The opposite of birr al-walidain is uquq al-walidain. Birr al-walidain is any ihsan wa ta'a wa ikram, to be kind, nice, courteous, and obedient to them. Any fil ma'roof. And the opposite of that is to disobey them, called uquq al-walidain, to disobey them, to make them mad, to not please them, to not make them happy, to be rude to them, and the likes like this. This is called uquq al-walidain. The people of knowledge, some of them, they made an example of the uquq, of the disobedience or the disrespect for their parents. It's like a person that's working righteous deeds, he's going around through the day collecting money, and collecting all types of money he's putting in a bag. Somebody is going around doing different jobs. And he, for example, the person who prays, he gets reward. The person who fasts, he gets reward. Maybe he gives charity, he gets reward. Maybe he memorizes the Quran or memorizes the Hadith, or maybe he teaches others and the likes like this. All of these efforts that he's doing in the deen of Allah, these actions of worship, he's gaining a reward from that. He's gaining a reward from that. The example of this is like the one who's doing jobs and he's working for money. And he's going over here and he's getting some money, going over here and getting some money. All the while he's putting it in a bag. Carrying a bag around with him all day long, putting the money in there, and then little did he know the bag has a hole in it. So he's putting his money in his bag and he's going to the next job and going to the next job and going to the next job. And whenever he gets home and he's ready to reap his earnings, whenever he's in need to count it and see what he has, he looks in his bag and there's nothing. There's nothing but an empty bag with a hole in the bottom of it. This is the example of the person who works righteous deeds. He's striving to be upright, yet he disobeys his parents and he's rude to them. And he disobeys his parents and he's rude to them. So just as the good deeds, they wipe out the bad deeds, also the bad deeds can wipe out the good deeds. Also the bad deeds can wipe out the good deeds. If the bad deed is major, it may take a major portion of those good deeds. It may have a great effect on one's deen and his religion. If the major sins, like disobeying the parents, So this is something that one, he has to have light with regards to. How to deal with these affairs, how to face these challenges properly without violating the rights, without transgressing the limits, without leaving the straight path, going to extremes and going and transgressing the limits, or being negligent and not fulfilling those rights properly, or being negligent and not fulfilling those rights properly. So this issue here is of utmost importance. And like this, the rest of those affairs. And like this, the rest of the affairs that we had discussed in the previous class. He mentioned likewise the keeping the ties. One, he must have detailed knowledge of how to keep ties of the relatives. These are rights. These are rights that must be performed. The relatives, they have rights. And there's a manner to perform those rights. There's an obligation with regards to that. And there's a threat for those who violate those rights and do not establish them. Those who sever those ties and they cut them. And the likes like this. So one, he has to learn the details of that, because if not, he will not be able to perform those rights. And the one who does not perform the rights, he's exposing himself to the anger of Allah. Allah, he's not pleased with them. So therefore, it's proper to say Allah, he did not want good for them. Allah, he did not intend good for them, because he left them in ignorance and he left them in blindness and darkness to follow their desires and to not be able to perform the actions and deeds, statements and speech that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, we discussed in our previous class as well the issue of mu'asharat al-zawja. The author mentioned this likewise, that from the signs that Allah, he wants good for a person is that he will seek knowledge of how to live with his wife. The knowledge of al-ishra, al-zawjiyya. This is of utmost importance likewise. And we specify this point here as well because of the great importance of this issue. The great importance of this issue in establishing a family, in establishing and in the establishment of the family is the strength of the ranks of the Badirs, of the Ummah. Whenever the families are dispersed and the families are having problems and the families are splitting and differing, then the Ummah becomes weak in this manner, because the society is made up of families are individuals. So whenever an individual, he rectifies his affair and he corrects himself for the sake of Allah and he works to correct his family, likewise this is the means of rectifying the society and strengthening the Ummah. The more families we have that are striving to be upright, the stronger the Ummah will be. The stronger the Ummah will be, and the more honor that we will have together by one striving to rectify himself and his family. By following one's desires and letting one's family follow their desires, or being negligent in that affair, this is only bringing humiliation to the Ummah as a whole. So therefore, the issue of how to deal with the spouse is of utmost importance in order to strengthen the bonds between the spouses and between the children, and then likewise in society, in the community, in the Ummah, until we are able to raise a generation who is upright and steadfast. Until we're able to raise a generation of Muslims who are upright and steadfast upon the deen of Allah, upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his salafiyah clearly, without claims that are false and empty, rather clearly in their creed and their actions and their manners and their worship and their statements and their deeds and their conduct and every aspect of their life, to raise them upon this way. And whenever this generation is raised, these are the ones whom Allah will aid and help them and grant them authority in the land like he granted those before. So this is of utmost importance, having care for the knowledge of Al-Ishra Az-Zawjiyya. Al-Ishra Az-Zawjiyya. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned in his book about these affairs a number of verses from that. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live amongst them in nobility and goodness. And live amongst them, meaning the wives, meaning the women, live amongst them in goodness and nobility. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, has beautiful commentary on the meaning of this. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live with the women, have the ishra, live with them, any of the wives in your home, those under your care, live with them in goodness, live with them in dignity and nobility and honor and respect. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 774. He says, أي طيبوا أقوالكم لهن وحسنوا أفعالكم وهيئاتكم بحسب قدرتكم كما تحب ذلك منها فافعل أنت بها مثله. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, what does this mean? To live amongst them in goodness and with honor. He says, make your speech good. Make your طيبوا أقوالكم. Make the words that you choose and the manner that you speak to your women, and those wives that you have, make that speech good. Make it nice. Al-kalam al-tayyib, the good word, the good speech. And what's very important with regards to the description of the good speech is that it comes out in a good manner. Because somebody, he may say the truth and something that is correct, but if he does not say it right, it will not flow. It will not settle. It will not be good. It will not be proper. It will not be considered tayyib. He will not be considered tayyib if he says it harshly, if he says it rudely, or if he says it in a degrading manner, or putting one down, belittling in a tone of belittlement. All of this is not from the good speech. So this is not from having husn al-ishra, or having ishra bil-ma'roof, living in a good manner. طَيِّبُوا أَقْوَالَكُمْ, meaning pick the good words. Pick the good words to say to her. Say the good words to her in a good manner. And all of this goes back to having a good intention. Again, the one who's sincere and he does this for the sake of Allah, he remembers that Allah, he said in his book, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live amongst them in goodness, and remembers what that means. Then whenever it's time to implement that, he will strive. Whenever it's time, he's facing that situation now. Now he will strive to implement that in his life, and he will make his statements good, and he will choose the good words to say to her, and he will think about these affairs, and he will say things that will make her happy, things that will make her heart feel warm. He will call her by good names, give her a good nickname to call her by sometimes, so that she will smile, so that she will be happy, so that she will feel loved, and the likes like this. All of this is from the best of good deeds. All of this is from the best of good deeds and from the means to have a happy home. And to have happiness likewise in one's own heart. Because whenever a person has disputes in his house, the heart will never be settled. And their heart will never be happy, and there cannot be contentment. If a man, he has to come home to a house where there is no peace between him and his spouse, and there's problems and there's disputes and there's no one getting along and everyone is wanting their right and everybody is sharp and tense and hot all day, all night. Like this becomes a major problem in a person's home. You cannot live like that. You cannot live a good life like that. Rather, Allah has created them, the women, spouses for us, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that we can find peace and find ease and stability and comfort and tranquility along with them. And they can find that from us likewise. And so that we can have mawadda and rahmah. Mawadda and rahmah, love and mercy. Love and mercy. So طَيِّبُوا أَقْوَالَكُمْ لَهُنَّ وَحَسِّنُوا أَفْعَالَكُمْ. And also, so make your speech good for them. Make your words good for them. And also make your actions as well good. وَهَيْئَاتِكُمْ. And also your appearance as well. Also your appearance as well. Even in the home, a man, he will no doubt be comfortable in his house in a manner he is not outside of his house. But at the same time, he will still have honor. He will still have respect and the likes like this. And he will not come to his family in a manner that's not proper or not befitting. Any unclean or filthy or dirty or the likes like this. Or that he takes care of himself for his family the way that he would if he were to leave and to meet his brothers. And he's saying, and to do this as much as you can, just as you love that she would do that for you. Just as you love that your wife will adorn herself and she will look proper for you and she will look decent for you whenever you come home and you see her, do the same. Do the same for her. Do the same for her. He says, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, like the Most High, he says, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And they have the rights. And they have rights, the likes of that which is upon them in goodness. The likes of that which is upon them in goodness. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. And the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, he says, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. And the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, he said, the best of you is the best of you to your family, and I'm the best of you to my family. So it's from the sunnah of the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ to be good to the family. To be good to the family and to learn how to solve problems and to make hot situations calm, to cool and to calm down the hot situations. A man, he has to be level-headed from the traits and the qualities of a man, and from the aspects of a rujula wal muru'a is that he has hazm, he has azm, he has hilm, he has sabr, he has rifq, and he thinks before he speaks. He thinks before he acts. These are from the traits of manhood. These are from the traits of manhood. If a person, he loses these traits in this manner, he's losing his manhood. And he will start to act like a woman, on emotions and the likes like this. And this is a foul and lowly way. This is a foul and lowly way. So if everybody gets emotional, then what's going to happen now? It's going to be like a bomb in the house, a time bomb. So if the woman, she's going to get emotional. This is the way women, they're going to get emotional. So if the man gets emotional, when the woman gets emotional, everybody gets emotional, then it's just a big problem in the house. So the man, he has to be able to check those situations first by controlling his own tongue and not getting emotional. Maybe she'll snap. Maybe she'll say something that's not proper. Maybe she'll will be rude and the likes like this, or say something he did not like, or raise her voice. But he has to check that and correct that in a manner that will not make the situation worse. That will not make the situation worse. And if he strives upon this way, seeking the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla, she'll be corrected. And then and the family will start flowing straight, and they will accompany each other, and they will complement each other, and they will remind and help each other. And whenever one of them slips, it will just take a short reminder that Allah is not pleased with this statement. This is not the proper way. You know that Allah is not pleased if you raise your voice to your husband. Barakallahu feek. I don't care whatever you do, just don't raise your voice. Barakallahu feek. I will help you with whatever you need. Many times after, if you work, she will remember that, and then immediately she will repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla and then rectify that affair, and it's a problem that's smashed and gone and never mentioned again. But if a person, as soon as she snaps, then you snap. Then the man snaps. Then the house is finished, and then the children are involved, and then everything's upside down, and now there's problems, and everything's hot, and everybody's upset, and it's never ending in this manner. So a man, he has to learn how to deal with these affairs. He has to strive to be good to his family. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned, being good to your family is not to spend on them. It's not to spend on them, not to provide for them. This is something that's obligatory already. Being good to your family is bearing the harm that she has with her tongue. Bearing the harm that she has with her tongue. And dealing with that with patience and not being harsh and rude to her. And this is having ihsan. This is having ihsan. هذا هو الإحسان إلى زوجة. and being kind to her and nice to her, meaning whenever her shortcomings become displayed, whenever her shortcomings they come displayed, they become apparent that a person, he will not take her to account, be harsh and rude for her, and smack her, slap her, yell at her, and the likes like this, or belittle her brother. He will bury that. He will bury that for the sake of Allah and work in correcting that with the man in the manner that's proper, with knowledge, with wisdom, with dua, with gentle speech, yani waiting for another time after she calms down to address the issue, so on and so forth. Many different aspects on how to deal with these affairs that is of utmost importance, because the best of you are the best of you to your family. The best of you is the best of you to your family. It's easy for you and I to be nice to each other when we see each other. We see each other in the masjid only, or on the street, maybe for just a few minutes. Or even the co-workers, you see them yani for several hours a day, or the classmates several hours a day, and that's it. So it's easy for a person to keep his composure in this manner, especially whenever he's out of his house. He's already on his, he's already ready and prepared himself and set his mind that he's going to yani check his tongue, he's going to act in a specific manner. Whenever he gets in his house, he lets his guard down. And maybe he's tired, or maybe he's hungry, or maybe, and the likes like this. So now, the one who's able to have noble and good manners in his house, with those whom he sees daily, whenever he's hungry, whenever he's thirsty, whenever he's tired, whenever he's sick, whenever he's happy, whenever he's sad, and they're with him all the time. They're with him all the time, so they know who he is really. So the one who is really kind and gentle, and they know that from him, then he's the one with good manners. That he's the one with good manners. As for the one who comes out of the house and he's kind and he's courteous and he's charitable, mashallah, and he helps the brothers and he smiles, and then he comes into his house like a lion, what do you have about roaring and yelling and belittling and smacking and unsatisfied and the likes like this? This is not noble and good manners. And everything that occurred before is in reality is not true. Because the reality of a person is how he carries himself in his house. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. This is the mihak. This is the scale, this is the mizan to determine a man. How does he treat his family? How does he treat his family? How does he treat his family? This has to be with knowledge. A person has to have knowledge in order to do this. Knowledge to how to raise the family. Knowledge how to solve problems in the family. Knowledge of jalb al-masarih, dar al-mafasid, dar al-mafasid muqaddim ala jalb al-masarih. All of these issues here are of most importance in how to have an ishra al-zawjiyya al-hasana al-sa'ida. Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned مَكَانَ مِنْ أَخْلَاقِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ جَمِيلُ الْإِشْرَةِ دَائِمُ الْبِشْرِ يُدَعِبُ أَهْلَهُ وَيَتَلَطَّفُ بِهِمْ وَيُوَسِعُهُمْ نَفَقَتَهُ وَيُضَعِقُ نِسَاءَهُ حَتَّى إِنَّهُ كَانَ يُسَابِقُ عَائِشَةَ أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها يتودد إليها بذلك. And from his manners and from the manners of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that he lived with his family in the most beautiful and nice way. And then in the most nice and beautiful way. Jamil al-ishra. Al-ishra is to live amongst others, and especially the family, specifically the family. He lived amongst his family in the best and most beautiful manner. And he was always smiling. Da'im al-bishr, always smiling. Yuda'ibu ahla. He would laugh and joke. He would joke. Yuda'ibu ahla. He would joke with his family, and he making them smile. Joking, of course, in a manner that's lawful, never lying, or never in a manner that's lowly. Rather just joking with them in a manner making them laugh, and also making them feel comfortable, and making them happy and smile. وَيُضَحِكُ نِسَاءَهُ. And he would laugh with his wives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would laugh with his wives. Pay attention to these traits here. حَتَّى إِنَّهُ كَانَ يُسَابِقُ عَيْشَةَ أُمَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا يَتَوَدَّدُ إِلَيْهَا بِذَلِكَ. Even to the extent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would race a running race with Aisha radiallahu anha. يَتَوَدَّدُ إِلَيْهَا بِذَلِكَ. Trying to draw her love. Doing this in order to draw her love. And he's racing with her. He's racing with somebody who is smiling for them all the time. Then he's laughing, making them, he's joking with them, playing with them in a nice way. And also laughing with them and making them laugh. Laughing with them and making them laugh. Who do you do this with? Having a race with somebody, who do you do this with? Huh? You do with somebody with your friends. That's what I want to say. Somebody you love very much. You do this with your friends. If you have a friend, you joke with him, you laugh with him, you make him smile, and you laugh together, and maybe you have some type of competition, maybe you take off running and race him. That's how friends act. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a friend with his wives. They're friends. They love each other. They have friendship. They have bond. They have respect. They have honor. They laugh together. They find happiness and joy in each other's company. They're friends together. This is how we should be in our homes. We should be friends. Our wives should be our friends, not our enemies. Our wives should be our friends, not our enemies. Our children likewise should have the same feeling that they love us. They love, we have a friendship, we have a bond together. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to mention that it's incumbent for a man to deal with his family until they think that he is the best and most noble person on earth. And the meaning of the narration, that he should treat his family and his children until they love him more than anybody else on the earth. And he is from the people, more than anybody else from the people. And they respect him and they love him and they think highly and dear of him. They'll say, oh, my father's the best father. My Abu, he's the nicest. Nobody else's father is nice as my father. My father's the nicest father, the most kind. He's the most kind, he's the most generous. That's how one should strive to make his family feel whenever they think about their father, whenever they think about their husband, that they should that this is the man. Whenever one thinks about his wife, likewise, they should work together in this manner. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, قَالَتْ سَابَقَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فَسَابَقْتُهُ وَذَلِكَ قَبْرًا أَحْمِلَ اللَّحَمْ ثُمَّ سَابَقْتُهُ بَعْدَمَا حَمِلْتُ أَلَّحَمْ فَسَابَقَنِي فَقَالَ هَذِهِ بِتِلْكِ يَا عَيْشِ. And Ibn Kathir, he mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha with regards to this, that one time I raced the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I beat him. And this was before I became older, a little bit heavy. And then she mentioned again later on, after I became heavier, I raced him again and he beat me. And he said, this is for that one. Hadhihi bitilki, and I got you back. And you remember that time you beat me? I beat you now. I paid you back. Like this. And he, again, yudarib. I know, he's joking. He's joking. He's making them laugh. He's making them laugh, making them smile, and the likes like this, in this manner, and the likes. Ya Aish, this is what tarqim, Ya Aish, not Ya Aisha, even the manner, the tone, this is like the beautiful speech, the beautiful way to address somebody in a manner, making them happy, making them smile, making them feel respected and loved, making their heart feel warm in one's company. This is from the beauty of Al-Islam and from the beauty of the manners of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَيَجْتَمِعُ نِسَاءُهُ كُلُّ لَيْلَةٍ فِي بَيْتِ الَّتِي يَبِيتُ عِنْدَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَيَأْكُلُ مَعَهُنَّ الْعَشَاءِ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَحْيَانِ وَثُمَّ تَنْصَارِفُ كُلُّ وَاحِدَةٍ إِلَى مَنْزِلِهَا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would gather in the evenings with all of his women in the house that he's going to spend the night in, and they would eat together. They would eat together, and then after that they would leave and each one will go to her home. And he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَكَانَ يَنَامُ مَعَ الْمَرْأَةِ مَنْ نِسَائِهِ فِي شِعَارٍ وَاحِدٍ يَضَعُ عَنْ كَتِفَيْهِ الرِّدَاءُ وَيَنَامُ بِالْإِزَارِ. And he used to sleep with his wife in the same bed, under the same cover. And he would take off his shoulder garment, the rida, the upper garment, and sleep in the izar. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani showing love, he would sleep in the same bed with her, in the same cover with her, yani his body touching her body, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this manner. This is from the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lived with his family. وَكَانَ إِذَا صَلَى الْعِشَاءَ يَدْخُلُ مَنْزِلَهُ يَسْمَرُ مَعَ أَهْلِهِ قَلِيلًا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَنَامُ يُعَانِسُهُمْ بِذَلِكَ. And likewise, after he would pray the Isha prayer, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would enter into his home, the home of the wife that he's spending the night with, and he would stay up with her, talking and enjoying her company for some time before he would sleep, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would come home after that, and then he would speak to her, talk to her, give her company, so on and so forth. And then after that, he would sleep, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Kathir, he says, rahimahullah, وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Ibn Kathir, he says, and Allah the Most High, he says that indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the best example. Also likewise, from these verses that touch on the issue of al-ishra, al-zawjiyya, the statement of Allah azza wa jal, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And they have rights, and they have the rights just like that which is upon them in goodness. Ibn Kathir, he says, أي لَهُنَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ مِثْلُ مَا لِلرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ فَلْيُؤَدِّ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا إِلَى الْآخَرِ مَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ مَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Meaning that the women, they have rights upon their husbands, just as the husbands, they have rights upon their wives. So each one of them must perform the right that is upon them in a good manner. In a good manner. And again, this is easy for those who are sincere and they perform those rights seeking the reward and the pleasure of Allah. As for those who want their right, for their self and their desire, it's hard and heavy for them to perform the rights of others. It's hard and heavy for them to perform the rights of others. And then he mentions some more benefits and from that is the narration of Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma that he says about the statement here, إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّ أَنَ تَزَيَّنَ لِلْمَرْأَةِ كَمَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ تَتَزَيَّنَ لِي الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولَ وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, he says, indeed, I like to adorn myself for my woman the way that I like for her to adorn herself for me. And he would present himself in his house in a good manner. He would be presentable and in good appearance for his wife the way that he likes for her to do that for him. The way that he likes for her to do that for him, because Allah, he says, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.